Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome. How are you?
Oh, Housewives of True Crime over here. I'm so good.
So good.
I got to sleep in. I got to work out on a weekend day, which I never, ever, ever do. So I'm feeling good.
You know, I feel refreshed kind of too. My husband, he has a friend, like one, and he invited him to a concert last night. And so I said, go, concert it up, buddy. And I had a night of beauty. I did some hair masks.
Did you put on the silk hair thing that I told you
works wonders for your hair? Well, I did the sleep rollers, you know, because you've been. Mm-hmm. And it turned me into a poodle. It's such a mess. If you're seeing this on YouTube, you will notice my hair is back in a ponytail, which is not my best look. But I had to because we had to get this. We have, you know, a limited time frame between our two schedules. So I did not have time to be styling of the hair.
Yes.
But I think it's the thing that sucks is I think it's going to take the straight iron to like
brush it out and tame it down a little.
I don't know. Fine. I'm going out tonight.
You're
Mom's
going to
night
the
out.
Tiki bar.
Yeah, I'm going. Oh, I'm finally going to that tiki bar.
Yeah, I think you can make it work.
You do?
Yeah, I do. Try not to straighten it. Try not to take the, although I can't really say much because I just blow dried my hair for this.
Yeah, like you're looking straight.
So, I know. But I rarely blow dry my hair, but I did do it today. And like Gretchen said, we're on YouTube. So check us out, Housewives of True Crime. And why she said we're on limited schedules is because we do not want to miss a week for you guys. And so we're recording early for summer. And today, actually, I am getting on an airplane. Well, not today, but today when you're listening to the Japan, if you don't know.
Yeah.
Gretchen's going to the much needed getaway of Hawaii.
Aloha.
Aloha. And- you know, I actually don't think Japan and Hawaii are very far from each other.
I think they're like halfway in between. I think that's why there's a lot of Japanese tourists there.
Yes. It is true. We actually almost were going to stop on our way home to Hawaii because it does break up that long flight.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're sitting in the coach for, you know, 13 and a half hours or something crazy, your feet need like some movement.
It's a long time, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else is on the agenda for your Japanese getaway?
Oh, holy hell, you guys. My kids, we're going there for the kids. They are all into the Pokemon and whatnot. So they have the cutest little cafes there that make like a coffee drink with like a Pokemon head out of foam.
Okay. Ooh.
Or you get a hamburger with the bun. It's probably not a hamburger, but you know what I'm saying? Some sort of bun looking thing that has Kirby on it. So they got all these fun little cafes. The thing is that there's a lot of people in Tokyo and a lot of tourists. And so to get a reservation, you have to, if you're in California or on the, you know, wherever, you have to wake up at 6 p.m. their time and get online immediately. So that's whatever it is. I was on the West Coast when this happened. So I had to wake up at, I think it was like 3 a.m.
Okay.
Get all set up on my computer to be the first to try to. So Sean and I both woke up. We both had our computers out. Thank heavens, because dude, I didn't get it. I was like 1 minute after, didn't get it. Didn't get the reservation, but Sean, it's a miracle. We're going.
No, that's how you got. Listen, I'm versed in this. To get the campground reservations in California is insanity.
Yeah, you're the same way.
It's just nuts. You got to get on there. I get so pissed off at people because people always say to me like, "Oh, hey, next time you go camping, we want to come." And it's like, well, it's not really like that.
No, you really have to actually commit like a year beforehand.
Yeah, you do have to commit like a year before. It's not just like, oh, you just show up at the campground. Like, nope, nope, nope. Things be booked.
Dude, guess
what? I'm kind of a picky bitch about what campsites, you know?
You like 100% are. Maybe
yeah, so I'm not going if I got a shitty site. Like, nope, nope. Not working out for me.
Hey, remember when we first started this podcast, I got Invisalign.
Did you just finish?
I did. Then COVID hit. And so I never went to the orthodontist. I never finished it.
Okay.
And my orthodontist is in California. And so I went out here and they want to charge me for a whole new case, right? They want the whole $5,000 again. And I'm like, oh, Sean's like,
oh, you
no
got to be
way.
Kidding me. We've been doing this podcast for 4 years. Come on. So
I called the orthodontist back in Woodland Hills and I was like, hey, I need to come back and you got to finish me up. So when I was back the other day, I went to the orthodontist and I'm back on Invisalign, you guys.
Oh, geez. Okay.
It's not for very long. It's like 6 months, but I'm going to
finish you take, it out. Well, the good thing is that we don't see each other in person that often anymore. And it used to bug the shit out of me when you would have your Invisalign in and we'd be hanging out.
Yeah.
Because I could see it. I'm like fixated on it, you know, and then she takes it out and like leaves it around her house. It's fucking gross.
Oh, it's so gross.
So pro for the move to Texas.
You're not gonna
I don't have to deal
it.
With your Invisalign shit.
My daughter has Invisalign too now. So it's like two trays all over. Fuck. It's going to be gross.
Gross.
But anyways, you are on the mic today. And I will just pay attention.
Please pay attention. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of Jersey Housewives. You all know that line.
Aficionados. I just watched. You did. So I don't watch it. I don't watch shit. But I was on a little overnight with a girlfriend and she was like, have you watched The Housewives? So we watched Teresa's wedding.
Oh, you did?
And
yeah.
I was like, oh, there's Gretchy.
There's the hair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I dressed up as Teresa for Halloween with the hair.
Yes.
Yeah. I think she pulled it off. I think that's what I want from a Jersey housewife. I want all 100%. That hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just watching the episode, hearing that she had 1,500 bobby pins in her hair for that do. I just think
she should have got the
did
Amy
you take
Winehouse
it,
wig.
Well, did you take that out before you got it on for your wedding night?
No.
No.
I don't think you can because it's like
then
your hair
is
like all like crazy, you know, because I know it's not only 1,500 bobby pins. It's like a pound of hairspray.
Well, maybe it was like a real rat's nest because she cut her hair off, you see, at the reunion.
Oh.
Like a bob.
Yeah, because she
couldn't. Which I'm sorry, but I actually do not think it's working for her.
Oh, no. Yeah. Mm-mm. We talk about that. You cannot have big features like a big nose if you want a bob. You have to have that little, you know, A-list
Anna
nose.
Wintour.
Yeah.
Perfect, symmetrical, sharp face.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, well, whatever. Okay, you ready for some crime?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, today's case is a listener suggestion from Katie Lindsay. And it takes place in her hood, which is the Hamden South area of Denver. Looks like a real nice part of the city. I love Colorado, but I have actually not been to Denver outside of the airport, but it's on my list. I want to go to see the Broncos play at Mile High, and I want to go to a concert at Red Rocks. So got to make that happen.
You have a house over there, so just do it.
Yeah, but it's like 5.5 hours away, so it's not like that close. And every time I go to that house, I have to like
do work.
Fix the deck.
I know. I hear all about it.
Yeah. So, okay. Back in 2015, a disco biscuit named Susan McBride met a man named Bob on Tinder. She said his profile pic of him was he was wearing a green polo and barbecuing. I mean, I think that looks like that's like a safe bet for a lady in her 50s looking for love. It's a good profile pic choice for Bob. Okay. Well, a couple of swipe rights later and they met for coffee and had some enjoyable conversation. Bob told her he was in a bit of a separated from his wife situation, but very close to filing for divorce.
They always say that. I'm telling you that. Right? It's a little bit of a red flag.
It is a little bit of a red flag. But Susan did not pick up on any creepy vibes until they were saying goodbye. And then he went in to kiss her in a way that she describes as aggressive. So much so she had to like push him away. It was like the first time they met.
I saw somebody do that in the Walmart parking lot like 2 days ago.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, is this your first date or what? Because that kind of like making out situation is, I don't know. It's one for the bedroom, not for the Walmart parking lot or a first goodbye.
I agree. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, she blew it off as kind of an awkward, came on too strong, isolated incident. And agreed to go on another date with him. She was looking forward, especially after seeing he sent her an email, which was flattering, stating that he knew that he should wait to write her, but he just couldn't help himself. I mean, that is kind of cute, right? And he would love to bring some wine over to her place, which is kind of a red flag too, right?
Yes.
Okay. But she said she thought that was kind of a red flag too. But how she handled it was she told him that she was not going to have him come over until she knew his last name.
Okay, I like that.
Yes. So he told her it was Woof. That is a good last name. Woof sounds hot, right?
If it really is his last name.
I do have a friend whose last name is Woof.
It's not his last name.
You might be onto something, but it is a good one. Okay. So being the disco biscuit type, she got to Googling Bob Woof right away and couldn't find shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Until she came across a LinkedIn profile for one Robert W. Feldman with his picture on it.
How did she find that?
Busted. She's as good at Googling as we are.
Okay,
you just keep going. You keep going. You different. You know, from there, she found Bob's wife, Stacy, and Googled her shit. And it was pretty clear that he was not so much separated.
Mm-hmm.
So Susan emailed him, Robert W. Feldman, you are a lying asshole. Never contact me again.
I don't want your wine either.
Right?
Fucker.
Well, he ignored her instructions and called her repeatedly, and she finally picked up and he convinced her to let him explain. He had a good story. He said he had a stalker in the past, and so he was wary of sharing his full name. He said his wife was an absentee mother. And, you know, he was reluctant to tell someone right off the bat that he had an arrangement with his wife that entailed them both rotating time spent with his two young children in the family home. So Susan bought what he was selling.
This guy, he stole this story.
He's
before.
Good. He is good. Yeah, he definitely has. Okay. She's buying it. He brings the wine. by the way, she says he drank half of it first. Like he showed up with a half drunk bottle.
Oh, you got to be fooling me.
Oh, she still did the no pants dance with him.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah, well, so after that, it must not have sucked because they made plans to see each other again on the weekend. Well, Bob last minute flaked on Susan, and so she wrote him, and I am paraphrasing, you know, it sounds like your life is complicated and you were just looking for a hookup, which I told you I was not interested in. So moving on, good luck. And she didn't hear back from him. And you know how we are, though. She's moving on from this guy, but we just can't help ourselves. And she we got to do like, a little more digging. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it.
So she discovered Bob's load of shit about Stacy being an absentee parent was just that. It was a load of shit. Mm-hmm. Stacy was actually president of the damn PTO.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That takes a real special person. Just saying.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, it got Susan right pissed. Bob the liar. Okay. So she decided to write Stacy an email. She said in the email, I met your husband on Tinder and he told me you were separated. And if you're not, you should know he's cheating on you. Call me if you have any questions. Okay. Ring-a-ling. Stacy called Susan right away and they chatted. Susan said Stacy was lovely. Mm-hmm. She was apologetic that Bob had done this to her. And she told her
Stacy's saying sorry to Susan?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I mean, listen, I applaud Stacy because I think I would have been like a little mad.
Well, okay, yes. Okay, so she apologizes and she says now she's done with him. And I agree. I think given that Stacy's initial response was apologetic towards Susan, and then she jumps right away to she's done with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could conclude that this is not her first time going down this road with Bob the bum, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you would be right. Okay. Some of her girlfriends told Dateline that they came into town for a girls' night out and they got on the family computer to check out what prospective dick was, you know, in the nearby area, right?
Okay.
That's what the single ladies do now. Okay. And they found Bob.
Again.
You don't have to leave the house. Yeah. It wasn't hard. He had left the window open. Like on the dating app with his profile on it. And mm-hmm. he had a date that night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually didn't tell Stacy at the time what they found. What do we think about that?
I think they needed to tell her.
I think they needed to tell
especially
her.
Especially in that instance, right? It's like, I don't know. God, it's so hard. It's so complicated. It's almost like, did Stacy tell them before that she suspected Bob was cheating or did she not? I don't know. I don't know what's the best answer.
I mean, you also could tell Bob, like you tell her or we will.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. But are they close to Bob? I mean, if it was Jeremiah, right? I would be like,
oh, no, you better. If you discover something like that, you better tell me so I can strategize how I'm going to leave his ass broke. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Do not be giving him a heads up.
Yeah,
okay?
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Okay. Not that he would ever, my beloved. Okay. Okay. So, okay. Stacy was not like completely living with her head in the clouds when it came to Bob, though. She discovered Bob was a bum all on her own eventually and had thought about leaving him multiple times, but he was able to convince her to stay. Apparently, some woman like came to her door.
Before?
At one point.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm not sure if this was before or after. So maybe actually it was like before the women found him on the dating profile and they're like, you know, she keeps taking him back. So why bother stressing her out that he's still doing it? Okay. So we'll give her friends the benefit of the doubt for that maybe. Well, what would happen when Stacy would learn about his infidelity was, you know, he would threaten to leave her with nothing and take the kids. the house was in his name only. And so he really used that against her, which, listen, PSA, your significant other's name can be solely on the mortgage loan, but you best make sure your name is on the deed to whatever you own. Okay. It's not hard to do. If they try to convince you that it is, then that's like sus.
Okay. Good to know.
Okay. So anyways, Stacy had not been in a good place in her marriage for years, but she was in the position so many women are. She was, you know, trying to keep it together for the kids. Mm-hmm. And I think you get to the point where as a working mother who is also head of the freaking PTO, right? You can easily get so busy with the day to day that you just put it out of your head, put your kids first and, you know, keep it moving. Also, nobody is in a rush to accept the fact that their partner is, you know, like a never changing conning freeloader. And Bob had really fooled Stacy from the get. They got married in kind of like a whirlwind. Their wedding was at the Ritz in Montreal. Bob portrayed himself as this successful salesman, but Stacy realized after popping out two babies that the bills were not going to get paid unless, you know, mama went to work. Mm-hmm. Turns out working wasn't really Bob's vibe, you know, so he wasn't really successful because he wasn't really that into working. He was into doing things like always checking a broken suitcase when he traveled and then taking it to the counter and demanding the airline reimburse him for a new one every single time he flew.
Oh my gosh.
And they did.
They did?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine. That would be so embarrassing to like deal with someone like that, always trying to get something for nothing.
There are always people like that, though.
Yeah, there are always some. It just seems like it must have like grated on her, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, Stacy, up until the day she got that email from Susan, she was like in it to win it for the kids. And so her and Bob kept up appearances. Okay, so now back to Susan. Now, after she had conversed with Stacy, she got on with life and, you know, kept it moving. But then one night she did something we all hate to admit we do.
She
did a little late night interweb searching to see what that asshole Bob Feldman was up to days. Right?
I've done that. Actually, recently I was like, and you know what? My mother-in-law, she was telling me about some of her first boyfriends, like way back, right?
Yeah.
I was like, let's Google him. Let's like Google him.
Totally.
Like Facebook stalk him. Yeah. I couldn't find the dude. By the way, they're 80. Okay.
Yeah.
But I found the wife of the dude. And then if you find the wife, you can find pictures and all this stuff, which was kind of fun.
Totally. It's a good time. Interweb sleuthing. Okay. So, you know, she's thinking like, she's curious to know whatever happened with that. You know, did Stacy really leave him after she said she was done?
No, Stacy did not.
Yeah. Listen, right. Last time I checked up on someone that I dated in the past that had like burned me, I found them in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not enjoy that discovery. It wasn't like a fun. What are they up to now?
It's like, because you hope for the best, right?
Well, I don't know if I really hope for the best. I didn't hope for the worst.
Well, the worst isn't dead, but.
Oh, okay. Well,
or maybe prison's worse. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. Well, so I should probably nix that hobby, right?
No.
I've got plenty of other people to I have plenty of other people to Google. Yeah.
Just don't write them in prison, okay?
Oh, never. Never. Yeah. Okay. Well, you're right. Death is worse than finding someone in prison because Susan found Stacy's obituary.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. And even worse than that, well, maybe not even worse, but worse. Also, she found the date that she died was the day she had spoken to her.
What?
Yeah. There was no cause of death listed, but she felt sick about it. and she called the police to find out if there was any indication Bob was involved in Stacy's death.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Rakuten. Have you checked it out? Because I recommend you do. Rakuten is the most rewarding way to shop and save because the members earn cash back on everything they buy. Rakuten is a shopping platform that partners with over 3,500 stores that I know I shop online at, like Zappos, Sephora, and Best Buy. We are all already online shopping at our favorite stores, so why not be saving while doing it? It's a no-brainer. Rakuten is the smartest way to save money when you shop. How it works is the stores pay Rakuten a commission for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the commission with its members. You get paid via check or PayPal quarterly. Membership is free and it's easy to sign up. Start all your shopping at Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app and start saving today. Your cash back really adds up.
You have heard me talk about my language learning skills with Rosetta Stone, and I'm telling you, I'm getting really good at it. I learned a little bit of Japanese before we went to Japan last year, and I really love the French language, so I'm learning French at the moment. Bonjour, bonsoir. I'm even getting a little bit of the accent down. Not very good, but I'm getting there. And with Rosetta Stone, it makes it so easy. I download it on my phone. I learn it in the car. It is awesome. You can do it on your desktop, wherever you find it convenient. They are there for you. And they have 25 languages, you guys, that you can use. And right now they are giving a lifetime membership for 50% off. So you can learn as many languages as you want for your entire life, which is amazing. And the best part is, it starts off, you know, with just words and then phrases and then sentences, and then you should be able to have a conversation with somebody that also knows the language, which is, you know, my entire goal. So don't put off learning that language. There is no better time than right now. Seriously, get started before your summer vacay. Our listeners get 50% off the lifetime membership. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem it today at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Are you busy? Well, of course you are. And if you're like me, that means you put off investing because maybe it just doesn't seem urgent or it's intimidating. Enter Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. What I love about Acorns is that it gives you the tool to give your money a chance to grow. You don't have to start with a lot. Just start. Believe me, it feels great. Head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial may not be representative of all clients. Tier 1 compensation provided. Compensation provides an incentive to positively promote Acorns. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Investing involves risk, including the loss of the principal. Please consider your objectives, risk tolerance, and Acorns fees before investing. Acorns Advisors, LLC, Acorns is an SEC registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are provided to clients of Acorns by Acorns Securities, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com.
And?
At this point, when she spoke with a detective, he had suspicions surrounding Stacy's death, but the autopsy came back undetermined. So Bob
had
been...
Was it gunshot?
No. No. I'm telling... If it was a gunshot, they would be able to determine it, Tabitha.
Oh. True.
So Bob had been able to collect a $750,000 life insurance policy. That's a good one. That's a chunk of change. Yeah. And console his children with a first class ticket to or trip to Disney World. So, okay. I mean, he's living it up. Okay. So the circumstances in which led to the death appear to be as such, according to Bob. He says He had dropped off the kids at school that morning around 8:30, and his understanding was Stacy was supposed to pick them up from school and take them to the school carnival. But the school called him around 12 because Stacy hadn't showed up to get the kids. And so he went, got them, took them to the carnival, and then didn't get home until 3:30. And that's when he found Stacy in the shower, unconscious, and called 911 frantically. He sent the kids to the neighbor's house and went through CPR with the dispatcher until the paramedics arrived, but it was very clear that Stacy was gone. A detective came to the house, but due to there not being anything that screamed homicide, the house wasn't really treated as a crime scene. Although, like, photographs were taken and the detective took, you know, some notes. Like Bob said, he pulled her out of the shower, but he couldn't remember if he found her face up or face down. Mm-hmm. Seems like that image would stick in your head.
I think
however you found someone like that, yeah. Right? And the floor wasn't wet.
Was the shower wet?
There was things knocked over in the shower, and there was a washcloth that was like damp, but it wasn't like fully saturated like you would think if, yeah. You know, he found her with the shower running, like you said.
Right.
Also, Stacy had a really nice watch on. And he thought that was unusual for a woman to be showering with.
Yeah, you don't really do that.
No, you don't. But I mean, but that doesn't, you know, it's a kind of a little thing. So basically there was a combination of little things that may or may not add up to anything sus. And at that point, he noted them, but leaned toward it just being a tragic accident. Mm-hmm. Bob also volunteered to the detective that they had been at a party the night before and taken a marijuana edible. Also, Stacy had some health issues, including rheumatoid arthritis. And the detective had discovered that Stacy had 2 fentanyl patches on.
Like,
which
by
is
accident.
Extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it could be maybe, she overdosed herself or something accidentally. Yeah. So, you know, there could be a variety of contributing factors for a 44-year-old, you know, 44-year-old active woman to, you know, drop dead. But, you know, it's unusual, right? But still, he had some pause, the detective. So he attended the autopsy the next day. Stacy had around 80 bruises on her body, which could have been from falling and being pulled from the shower and then given CPR. But again, it seemed extra.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, waited for the autopsy results with the official cause of death to explain what he had seen. But 2 months later, like I told you, when the results came in, the pathologist ruled it undetermined. Yeah. And the toxicology said she had no THC. Like,
so what
she would have had. What was with the marijuana edible?
Was that a fake edible?
Yeah. Or fentanyl.
No fentanyl either?
No. Yeah.
I don't know how long that lasts in your body, but marijuana is supposed to like last for like 30 days.
Like
or something.
Forever. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Listeners, remember when everyone was doing juice cleanses and was basically hangry all the time? Well, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. The Ro Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Ro's partners handle all the insurance paperwork to help get medication covered. If eligible for medication, patients have access to their provider on demand for any questions. You can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes, BMI, and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.com. rakuten.co/clink. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/clink.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Well, let me tell you, mylifeinabook.com is a very unique service. I did it for my mom and my grandmother, and it has been amazing. It basically turns your mom's life stories or your grandmother's or anybody that you think is special in your life into a book. So here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send a question via email to the special person, whoever you choose. You can ask custom questions too, but I just kind of let My Life in a Book choose what questions to ask. And then your special person, like your mom, can type their response or they can record their voice. And My Life in a Book compiles it all in a beautiful keepsake for you. And guess what? They can even create audiobooks. I mean, this is such a unique gift that will last a lifetime for you, your mom, your children, your children's children. It is the best gift you can give. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use our code CLINK at checkout for 10% off. This is an unforgettable gift for you and your mom. Get it today. Use our code CLINK, mylifeinabook.com.
Listeners, did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. Plus, those products are often filled with nasty ingredients like chlorine and ammonia. That's a lose-lose situation for you and the planet. Nobody's trying to have that. Enter Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautiful cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. Genius! You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run again. Refills start at just $2.25. Blue Land is trusted in over 1 million homes, including mine, y'all. When I received my first shipment of Blue Land, I was blown away by how this simple concept just makes so much sense. It's so easy. You just drop the tablet into the stylish functional bottles and get your clean on. I love the subscription option because I am not trying to get one more bulky item in my cart. Blue Land products really get the job done and leave my home smelling so fresh and clean. Blue Land has a special offer for our listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/clink. You won't want to miss this, guys. blueland.com/clink for 15% off.
With the cause of death being undetermined and no obvious motivation to indicate foul play, there wasn't much the detective could do. After the detective received the phone call from Susan McBride telling him there's something about Bob that ain't right, and she had spoken with Stacy the day she died about it, he decided to circle back to Bob and ask him again the sequence of events that happened the day Stacy died. Well, Bob's story changed at this point. He said now that he actually did come home that day and clean his garage around noon, and he didn't know what Stacy was up to while he was doing that.
We all know that guys only clean their garage when you're going to have people over.
Yeah, well, it didn't jive with the detective because he had seen the garage and it was real obvious that Bob hadn't cleaned anything in there in years, which is also what the neighbors concurred, okay? Mm-hmm. My garage is actually cleanish at the moment, you know.
You must have just had a party.
I mean, well, yeah, I did. But also, you know, the neighbors across the street, they sit out front in rockers.
Okay.
So they got a direct view into my garage. So that's, I mean, that's a little motivating. Keep it tidy.
It is motivating. Yeah. I'm saying, like, I have a party. Nobody's going in that effing garage and my husband cleans it. I'm like, oh, that is not where You need to be cleaning. You need to be cleaning where people are going to be, like in our house and in our backyard, not in our garage.
Oh yeah. When we were having a party and my husband is like, you know, the tray that like you have that goes, your washing machine goes like on top of.
Yes.
Ours like sticks out a little bit in the laundry room on the way to the garage.
Yeah. Ours does too.
No one be going in there. Okay. There is no reason for anyone to go in there during the party. And it is not something I would ever notice. Like, ew, right. That house was nice, but did you see how the tray the washing machine was on sticks out? Lame, right? Never. Okay. He's like, I'm not going to help you clean.
I'm going to go out
and I'm going to get a smaller, like the fucking logic. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Yeah.
We still have the same tray because I was not about to let that happen. Uh-uh. I'm like, no. I think somebody just wants to take a little half day at Home Depot and avoid helping with the real shit.
I'm always like, dude, I've come to like where I'm like, okay, listen, my anxiety is like going to keep rising the longer you spend in the garage. So can you please not?
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, husbands be husbands. Okay. Well, another thing about Bob that the detective was alerted to was that since Stacy had passed, he'd been keeping the children away from her family, which is like a little suspicious, right?
I don't like that.
The detective was told this by Stacy's sister. She had a sick feeling that something involving Bob was what caused her sister's death. And she became obsessed with true crime to help her figure out what it was. Mm-hmm. She was determined to find out what the real determining factor that had been ruled undetermined in Stacy's death was. And, you know, God bless this detective, because the sister says that she called him at least once a week and sometimes late at night after she would watch an episode of, you know, 48 hours or whatever, right? That we all watched. And she would call him and say, is it possibly this or possibly that? And the detective always took her calls.
Yeah, that's nice,
right? Okay. So there was a lot of talking and suspicion surrounding Bob. But if the DA doesn't want to press charges, that's as far as it goes.
Right. Well, you got to have enough evidence.
Right. So Bob's life went on. And it's no surprise he got himself back on the apps. I mean, he probably never got off, right? Mm-hmm. Multiple women have come forward with their uncomfortable, to say the least, experiences with Bob. He had a knack for coming on too strong, too fast, just like Susan McBride had reported initially. The common thread with these women was they ignored red flags, which I'm just pointing out as a reminder, you know, listen to your gut. Mm-hmm. One woman who met Bob at a grief counseling session where Bob told her his wife had died from cancer.
Invited. Okay. Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. You know how Bob, you know how men like Bob think? He's thinking he's going to go to the grief counseling, not to counsel any of his grief, but to meet single ladies.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Isn't there a movie? It's called That Thing About Bob or something like that.
That's what this episode needs to be titled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing About Bob.
Yeah. Okay. So he tells this woman his wife died of cancer, and then he invited her to his community pool. When she got to the address, she found that he considered his backyard a community. So that's weird, she says, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But she still went in, and that's where he sexually assaulted her.
He did?
Yes. And he told her that she could scream as loud as she wanted, but his neighbors would not be able to hear it. She did what so many women do. And, you know, she just left Bob's house and tried to disconnect from it happening. And she didn't, you know, go to the police or press charges. But when she filled out paperwork at a doctor's office 3 weeks later, because she had an infection, from unconsensual sex, they reported it. And then the police had to talk to her, and she was informed that Bob was kind of a murder suspect. And they also told her that whatever choices she had made, she should not feel bad about, because she had survived Bob. And that's the most important thing, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's talked about enough that women often freeze during sexual assaults and disconnect, which is just like a survival mechanism. But then they shame themselves because we're told you're supposed to scream and fight, you know? But whatever you do in the moment to survive is
you don't
what you should do. Yeah. So don't judge yourself or, you know, anyone else.
100%. I mean, it's really hard to think about what to do in a situation or what you're going to do. You think you might do one thing and you actually might.
You have no idea.
Do something so off of what you always thought you would be. You just don't know.
Yes. Yes. And definitely don't judge other people when you hear their story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that is just another PSA for the day. And here is, I have another one, a third one, I think, for this episode. Okay, never give up looking for answers.
Yeah.
Stacey's true crime fanatic sister didn't, and it led her to an organization called the Training Institute for Strangulation Prevention. According to their website, what they do is provide consulting, training, resources, and support services to professionals working in the fields of domestic violence and sexual assault.
Okay.
So Stacy's sister went to one of their workshops, and the detective she had come to know so well attended with her. And one of the organization's professionals agreed to look over the evidence in Stacy's case to see if there was anything that indicated a missed strangulation.
Mm-hmm.
He found evidence that had been overlooked. Like, Stacy had a chipped tooth and venous congestion in her chest, which suggests that she had been face down, which is also supported with the bruises on the back of her arms, which would have happened if someone was restraining her on their knees. She also had fatigial hemorrhages in her eyes, which is another sign of
lack of oxygen, right? Like
strangulation and suffocation. Yeah. So, you know, I am interested in more on this organization and their worthy cause of educating, you know, investigators on less common signs of strangulation. I didn't know that there was a need
missed
for that.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there is.
It
does. Yeah. I don't want these dirt bags getting away with it, right?
Agreed.
So 3 years after Stacy's death, the DA had enough to charge Bob with her murder. Now, what happened between Bob's arrest and trial is bananas, okay? First off, there was this whole thing about Bob being able to use the life insurance money that he had collected to post bail and fund his defense. It was back and forth. He actually was in jail for 6 months. Initially, funds were frozen, but he appealed and won and was released on bail, but put on house arrest with an ankle monitor situation. That ankle monitor situation lasted a minute because, you know, for one thing, those guilty MFers always find a way to put their trials off as long as possible, like a long time. Okay. I'm talking to you, Danny Masterson. Okay. Which we still don't
have.
Hopefully by the time this, no verdict yet.
Okay.
I know. Okay. So that bought him a couple years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this thing called COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then the courts got
more years,
right? Yeah. Courts be getting constipated. You know what I mean? Backed up. Okay. So they didn't get this trial show on the road until 2022. Stacy died in 2015. He was arrested in 2018.
Holy shit, dude.
Yes, that's way too long for Bob to be free, man. Okay. Well, you know, Bob's neighbors felt some kind of way about living in proximity to a murder suspect awaiting trial for so effing long. Okay. Mm-hmm. They'd be keeping tabs on him, which is exactly what we would be doing, right? So Bob's house arrest was like, he was able to go to this store and his lawyers and doctor's appointment, and that's it. It did not include bike rides. And so when the neighbors saw Bob
biking around,
recreationally, they called the authorities. And the news got a hold of the story, and they found that Bob had been biking it up at least 234 days in the past year and logged over 3,000 miles. And you know how they knew this? Because Bob tracked his own app, his own ass, on an app called Strava.
Oh my God.
Like under Bob Feldman. Yeah.
But doesn't that ankle monitor have like tracking on it?
Oh, I'm going to get into that. Okay. It's interesting because in April 2021, Bob went to court to modify his home confinement restrictions, and a representative from the monitoring company testified. I read the court transcript and everything. Okay. The rep said, Bob is, I'm paraphrasing, but basically he said, yeah, Bob is extra. He finds a reason to leave his house every day. And he has a lot of doctor's appointments and requests. But he did not make it sound like Bob had been breaking the rules.
Because he had probably told them that he has a doctor's appointment, or maybe he doctor's appointments it up everywhere. I know people like that, that are not on house arrest.
Well, I know, but it's like, clearly they're not he is recreationally riding his bike. You can see it on the Strava app. Like, I don't think they're really checking his GPS.
He's recriationally riding it to the like pot store saying,
yeah, for, like, right. Right.
The MedMen.
Yeah. So I don't know why he didn't make it sound like Bob was breaking the rules so that the judge would say like, no, we're not changing, you know, your restrictions. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. He was, but he didn't. And obviously it's some kind of bullshit that Bob was out on bail in the first place. And then more bullshit that he didn't face any repercussions when it came to breaking the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, typical though, right? Remember, he's the suitcase guy.
Yeah.
He's going to push it, right? Okay. By the way, at the hearing, Bob's attorney, at another hearing, I should say, he asked for him to be able to go to the synagogue once a week. And then at another hearing, he asked for Bob to be able to go twice a day.
Yeah, I know this type.
I just can't help but think that's got to be some kind of awkward for like the regulars that go to the synagogue. Like, hey, Bob, not used to seeing you so much around here. You know, what's new?
He's probably like, I'm praying for my sins, although he's going to the synagogue.
No, I think they were thinking like that scumbag is using the synagogue as an excuse to get out of his house. It is our holy place. The nerve.
Doing.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
he's doing.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Bob, you're not even Jewish.
Yeah. Well, okay. At another hearing, he asked to leave the country to go to his grandmother's funeral. Like, Bob, you're lucky you're out on bail. Okay. That one was denied, thankfully. But like, you are on bond for murder, mm-hmm. not fraudulation. You don't get to leave the country.
Right.
What kind of privileged request is that? Okay. No field trips for Bob. Sorry about your grandma. But still. Okay. So the home confinement shenanigans did not stop for Bob. Bob was on J-date. Not surprisingly, right? We know.
Okay, he is Jewish.
Yeah, he is Jewish. Yeah, for sure. We know he would ask women to come to his home and sit by the pool. Okay, that is red flag, right? Okay, that is a sketchy invitation.
They come and he's got the monitor on his ankle. Totally. What's up, Bob, right? With that?
Right? Okay, so we know at least one woman who said she declined because she didn't feel comfortable
Wonder why.
With the way that sounded. But, you know, who knows if he was able to lure anyone else in.
For sure he was.
Because I think most women that realize who he was after the fact don't, like, want to go to the press and be like, I'm that dumb. I showed up, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Nobody wants to brag about it. You know, it's a real lesson in Google. Look people up, right?
Right.
Okay. So, believe it or not, there is one woman out there. Okay. Believe it or not, there is one woman out there who. Okay, again. Believe it or not, there is one woman out there who was dropping off her kids to swim in Bob's pool. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, there was a site where people could advertise their pools to recreate in.
Yes. Yes. I remember this. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You could pay whatever, $25 for the day to like go to get somebody's pool. Right.
Bob had a good pool. Although it had one of those real old school water slides.
Yeah.
Like with the walk up, you know, ladder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It looks like a concussion, like waiting to happen.
Right.
And a lot of insurance. But, you know, it is the pandemic, people needing to recreate and get rid of their children, right? Okay. So the neighbors were like, what the fuck? He's having pool parties. And so.
So then they call?
They call the news and the news finds out. I mean, well, they call the home confinement monitoring company first. That's who they're referred to. And, you know, and they're like given the runaround. So they call the news. The news finds his address. It's advertised on this site. You know, he's renting out his pool. Yeah, sure. Drop your kids off. Great. Right. And they actually met a woman who said she had dropped her kids off there multiple times to swim. And they informed her about Bob and asked if she was going to, you know, find another swimming pool. As she said,
no,
probably not.
She's like, this one's way too convenient. And I know there's always an adult there because he's got an ankle monitor on.
Right? I mean, there is like no words. Like, oh my God. Okay. Well, finally, in 2022, 7 years after Stacy's murder, Bob went to trial. The trial was intense. Bob's daughter testified to the timeline of that day, which I just wish they could have left her out altogether, right? So terrible. She had to participate in it and face him as if she hasn't been through enough. The prosecution called the expert on strangulation and suffocation, and he demonstrated on a dummy in court how he determined Bob had pinned Stacy down. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, those courtroom demonstrations are.
They work.
They do work. Mm-hmm. They are very effective. Yeah. The defense went after that guy saying, you have a lot of credentials, but you're not a pathologist, so we don't think you're cause of death determination means dick. And they called the original pathologist and he stuck by his original report.
Well,
yeah, whatever. Okay, that's what I have to say to that. Thankfully, the jury wasn't stuck on the original findings and they found Bob guilty. He was sentenced to life without parole. Now, I found the property records for Bob's house. I just find this stuff interesting. So he bought it in 2007 for $410,000. Mm-hmm. And it was sold in 2022 for $782,000.
Okay.
That's a nice return on your investment. I hope really that got put into a college fund since Bob will be serving the rest of his life in prison.
Yes.
For his children. Right. Okay. Well, then that house got flipped and sold in 2023, just a couple months after it sold for $782 for $1.2.
Dude, all it needed was probably some countertops and paint.
They did a nice job. They did a nice job. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know if there is enough sage to get me to move into a murder house, but it looked good, right? Okay. So I reached out to our listener friend who suggested this case about her neighbor to see if she had any thoughts to share.
Yeah.
And she said word around the hood was people were suspicious he killed Stacy, you know, long before he was arrested because he bought a Range Rover and a motorcycle
right after
she died and had a girlfriend a hot minute later. She also said that he did not like that his neighbors were suspicious of him. And when he learned that they were, he started throwing dog poop in their yard, spraying their children with the hose, blowing leaves their way, stuff like that.
Little asshole.
Oh, my God. So I'm sure they were all thinking, like, good riddance to Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, in that case, it's like, okay, welcome to the murder house. I probably, if those, probably you know,
baking them cakes and shit.
That's what I'd be doing. Coming in. Yes. Yeah. Anyone is welcome after that shit show. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And lastly, I just hope that Stacy can rest in peace knowing that there was some justice finally and her children are in good hands and, you know, they're the real victims of all this. It's just awful. But yeah, man, the thing about Bob.
God. Well, thank you for that, Gretchy Poo. If you guys have not checked us out on YouTube, go there now, or Housewives of True Crime group on Facebook. We do a lot of talking there. And we're on Instagram, TikTok, all those fun things. And if you haven't given us a review, please do so on Apple or Spotify. You can also talk about this episode on Spotify too if you guys listen there. I think that's it. All right. Clinkity clink.
Clink clink.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.